parish. In the fall, they would always publish the serving schedule. And you'd look immediately because you really didn't want to be on the week that we had All Souls Day. Because in those days, well, even today actually, the priests were allowed to say three masses on All Souls Day. And we had three priests in Brainerd, and we had daily mass at 6:45, 7:20, and 8 o'clock. And so on All Souls Day, between 6:45 and about 8:30, we celebrated nine masses. And if you were serving, you had to bring enough wine, because the priest would end one mass, he'd come directly down to the foot of the altar, and you would begin the second mass, and then you would begin the third mass. And so it was rather hectic. But it tells us, though, the status that the church holds this particular day in. There are not too many other days during the year. Technically, if you celebrate more than two masses, you have to have the permission of the bishop. But this is the one day when all of the priests could celebrate three masses. And so, as I said, it sort of reminds us the status in which we hold this day. Because we come together this evening, and we can see by all the candles that have gathered around the baptismal font that we're remembering those family and friends who have died since last All Souls Day. And there's something very, very sort of important, if you will, about the sequence that we use in this celebration. Because it starts out with all the candles are there by the baptismal font. And that's where our lives as Christians begin. When we go down into the waters of baptism, we die with Christ. When we come out of those waters, we rise with Him to new and everlasting life. And in the waters of our baptism, the Lord God looked down upon the people that we are remembering this evening and said, "You are my son, you are my daughter, and I am your father. And I am promising you an inheritance." And the inheritance ultimately is the gift of eternal life. But it all starts there. It all starts in the waters of baptism. And that tells all of us what our lives as Christians are going to be like. It's going to be living out the Paschal mystery. It's about suffering, taking up our cross, dying, and rising. That's the Paschal mystery. And we live that out each and every day of our lives. It's not just, well, okay, we're reminded of that at our baptism, and X number of years later when we die, that's when we're celebrating the Paschal mystery. No, that's part of it. That's part of it. But as Christians, every day we embrace that Paschal mystery. And so, it starts where? It starts in the waters of baptism. And not only that, we have candles back there. And we think, well, we've always used that. But one of the things we do at baptisms, after the actual baptism, we anoint the child with chrism, and we give them a candle. And I'm sure some of you might have your own baptismal candles. If not, you probably had your children's candles, and you gave them to them. And we were given that candle. And it was said, "Receive the light of Christ." You are to walk always as a child of the light. May you keep the flame of faith alive in your heart. And when the Lord comes, may you go out to meet Him with all the saints in the heavenly kingdom. We were given that light and said, carry this on your journey. Carry this on your journey. Be light to the world so that other people see the goodness of God and give praise to Him. And you know as well as I that as the world gets darker and darker, as Christians we need to carry that light. We need to carry that light, because that light comes from Christ, God from God, light from light, true God from true God. And so it all starts in the waters of baptism. And we are given that candle as a reminder that we are children of the light. We are no longer to walk in darkness, but we are to walk in the light of Christ. And then, what do we do with those candles? we take those candles and we bring them and we put them here on this altar. Because even in the ritual of baptism, you are allowed to, after you actually do some of the things back there, you're supposed to come to the front of the church. Because baptism is just the beginning of the initiation process. There is confirmation, and finally, we gather around the Eucharistic table. And as we put those candles on this table, we are reminded of what happens at this table. We take bread and we take wine, and it becomes the body and blood of Christ. And we are reminded of that sixth chapter of John's Gospel, where Jesus tells us, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. But if you eat my body and drink my blood, you will live forever, and I will raise you up on the last day. That extraordinary promise of Jesus that we celebrate even here this evening, that as we are here to remember those who have died, as we come forward, and the priest or whoever it is says, the body of Christ, we say, amen, I believe. We are already having a foretaste of that great Eucharistic banquet that waits each and every one of us in heaven. The banquet at which our family and friends are now seated, enjoying the eternal vision of their loving God. And so there's sort of a wonderful balance, as I said, when we look at how the church helps us to celebrate. And again, the church is not denying, you know, that our family and friends have died. It's happened. And it's going to happen to each and every one of us as well. But what the church helps us do is celebrate the fact that it's not the end. And to do that, it goes back to the very beginning, to our baptisms, that life-giving water where God looks down upon us and says, you are my son, you are my daughter. I have an inheritance for you, and that inheritance is nothing less than the gift of eternal life. And in that promise, we were told to walk as children of the light. And we walked as children of the light. We walked down the aisle of this church. We walked down the aisle of the old church. And we came up and stood before the priest or the deacon or whoever. And we received the body and blood of Christ, remembering the promises of Jesus. If you eat my body and drink my blood, you will live forever. And I will raise you up on the last day. And so, we're not here this evening to deny the reality of death. We're not here this evening to pretend that it didn't happen. We're not here this evening to pretend that there's still not a big ache in many of the lives of people who have died. We're here to admit that. But we're also here to celebrate, to rejoice, to remember the extraordinary promises of our God. As we came out of the waters of baptism, we rose with him to new and everlasting life. As they came forward, and as we will come forward to receive the Eucharist, we are reminded of that great promise. If you eat my body and drink my blood, you will live forever, and I will raise you up on the last day.